Welcome, everybody, to Biblical Resources for the Feast of the Ascension. Our Gospel comes from the last paragraph of Matthew 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Initial observations. All four Gospels have different ways of bringing the story to a close. The most stark is Mark, which originally ended with the enigmatic and impossible 16:8. Luke shows the disciples continuing to worship in the temple in Jerusalem, where the Gospel began and where the Acts will begin. The final blessing takes place in Bethany in this Gospel. John's Gospel has, in effect, two endings, both highly significant. Chapter 20, verses 30-31, and then really all of chapter 21. Today's passage is Matthew's closure of the Gospel story, a closure which is really an opening. The location, words and gestures are all unique to Matthew. The timing, Easter Sunday, seems unclear. What kind of writing have we here? Properly speaking, this final scene of the Gospel is a peroration, that is, a final summing up or resume. It synthesizes the identity of Jesus in this Gospel in the light of the resurrection. It portrays the mission of the Church, especially baptism. It promises the continued presence in absence of the risen Lord. What about the Old Testament background? Number one. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is portrayed as a new Moses-type figure. This is very clear from Matthew 1-2. Within the Gospel itself, Jesus' central teaching is given from a mountain, Matthew 5-7, just as Moses gave his teaching on Mount Sinai. Finally, just as Moses went up a mountain, Mount Nebo, within sight of the Holy Land, before his final departure, Deuteronomy 34:1-2, likewise Jesus, from a mountain, this time from within the Holy Land, makes his final appearance. Number two, the phrase, "I am with you," or "I will be with you," has a tremendous echo in the Old Testament. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, Isaiah, and so on, are all given this promise. It is especially rich in the book of Jeremiah, and the citations are in the notes. For example, in Jeremiah 1:8, we listen, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Number three. Behind this lies the name of God as revealed to Moses. We read in Exodus 3:13-14, "But Moses said to God, 'But if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' He said further, 'Thus shall you say to the Israelites, I am, has sent me to you.'" This in turn is taken up in a special way by the prophet Isaiah, cited in Matthew 1:22-23, because Emmanuel means literally God, El, is with us. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. Number 4. The extraordinary claim to authority echoes a significant Old Testament text. We read in Daniel 7:13-14. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, and all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The New Testament foreground. This is chiefly from Matthew. Number 1. Authority. In this gospel, the teaching and actions of Jesus enjoy a special authority which causes a reaction. The citations are in the notes. This authority in turn is given in a special way to Peter in Matthew 16:18. Mountains, number 2, mountains have a symbolic function in this gospel, as their frequency in comparison to other gospels shows. Mountains are mentioned 12 times in Matthew, 7 in Mark, 6 in Luke, and 44 in John. Number 3. Worship. This comes up in a number of citations. We read in Matthew 2:2, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at his rising and have come to worship him. In 2:8, then he sent to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage. And in Matthew 2:11, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in Matthew 14:33, those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. And finally then, in a resurrection scene, Matthew 28:9, suddenly Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Finally, number 4, the end of the age. This expression is found only in this gospel, reflecting the continued commitment to end-time hope. We read in Matthew 13:39, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. And in 13:49 we read, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. And in Matthew 24:3 we read, when he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And finally, of course, in our quotation, 28:20, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. For a reflection from St. Paul, we turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Brief commentary. Verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. That is, the 12 minus Judas. Galilee. Mark's Gospel promised that they would see the risen Lord in Galilee. This probably means that on the Gentile mission they would experience the second coming. However, by the time Matthew's Gospel was written, already it was clear that there would be a time of the church with some rudimentary structures. So in this Gospel, the function of the Galilee appearance changes to a commission to continue the mission. Verse 17. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. A reassuring feature of the resurrection appearance narratives is the initial doubt of the recipients. Worship of Jesus began early and is noted in the Gospel of Matthew from the start. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Heaven and earth, as a combined expression, occur in this Gospel more frequently than in the others, 24 times in Matthew, 4 times in Mark, 10 times in Luke, and only 4 times in John. This is the universal, even cosmic, authority of the risen Lord, as shown in Matthew 25 especially. Verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is the first mention of baptism since Jesus' own baptism in Matthew chapter 3. As we see from Romans 6, Christian baptism is essentially different from the baptism of John. The Trinity as a doctrine is present in nuce in the New Testament, although rare. It took several centuries before the Church proposed what we would recognize as the Trinity. However, the seeds are present in texts such as this one. Disciples are mentioned very frequently in this Gospel, 74 times in Matthew, 48 in Mark, 40 in Luke, and 79 in John. Verse 20, "And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." There is a great deal of Jesus' teaching in Matthew's Gospel, collected into five great speeches, Matthew 5-7, Matthew 10, Matthew 13, Matthew 18, and Matthew 23-25. The being with echoes the name given to Jesus uniquely in this Gospel. All this took place to fulfil what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," Matthew 1:22-23. Pointers for prayer. Number 1. It is time for Jesus to return to his Father. He meets his disciples for the last time. His final words give them direction for their future. Perhaps you can recall such parting moments in your own life, leaving home, school, college, training, the death of a loved one. What was that like for you? Was there an occasion when words spoken then gave you direction for your future? Number 2. Perhaps you can identify with Jesus in the story when, as a parent, teacher, in some other way, you sent someone on his or her way in life, knowing that you would not be with him or her as in the past. When did the way you parted help the other to make his or her own way in life? Number 3. Jesus told his disciples that although he would not be with them as in the past, he would be with them in a new way right through their lives. Have there been times when you were assured by the love and support of another, even though he or she was not physically present with you? Number 4. In parting with his disciples, Jesus gave them a mission for the future. Where, when, and how did you get a sense of the meaning and purpose of your own life? How does that sustain you now? Is there any way in which that purpose ties in with the mission given to the 11 to make disciples of all the nations? Number 5. Matthew's Gospel begins by introducing Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, and ends with the promise of Jesus to be with his disciples until the end of time. That promise is also to us. What are the times which help you to be aware of the presence of Jesus with you on life's journey? Prayer. God of majesty, yours is the power that raised Christ from death. Yours the glory that exalted him to your right hand. By the mystery of the Ascension, sustain our hope as we bear witness to our baptism. By the perpetual outpouring of your Spirit, confirm your Church in its mission of salvation. Grant this through Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, for ever and ever. Amen. A brief thought for the day. We could ask, how is the risen Lord with us? The New Testament and the Church tradition offer a rich array of presences. Christ is present in the neighbour in need, in created reality, beautiful and awe-inspiring, whenever the disciples gather, in the word proclaimed, in the sacrament celebrated, and through the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we do not always feel this presence, but the words of Jesus are a guarantee that no matter what is going on in my life, or my community, or my church, he is with us, our Emmanuel. Prayer. Emmanuel, God with us, we thank you that you are indeed always with us. Help us to find you and recognize you where you truly are and not just where we want you to be. Amen. Thanks very much, everybody.